Turn with me this morning to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Last week, I mentioned again that the Bible is really written for the church and not for the world. It's hard for people to understand. It used to be hard for me to understand. I was like everybody else. I thought, well, it's just written for, you know, the world. Everybody. And in a certain sense, it is. In another sense, it isn't. It's always addressed to the people of God. But anyway, it kind of led me here this morning. I'd like to take a few thoughts here, beginning in verse 12. Apostle Paul said, even so, ye for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, this is what the gospel is for. You understand, edifying is a building up. Really, the word goes back to the temple. The building of the temple, putting one stone upon the other. And in our day, it's the church. It's placing one stone upon the other, living or lively stones, placed one upon the other. And the edifying of the church is the building up of the building, so that it might completely come together and close in and be one body or one house. And that's the edifying of the church. And that's the reason the church meets, that it might be edified. And the edification of the church comes from the preaching of the gospel. Now, the preaching of the gospel unto the others is unto condemnation, not unto salvation. So the gospel in that sense does go to all men. But it's the church's saving grace, the preaching of the gospel. He said, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with spirit. And I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with understanding also. That's the only way that it is right or righteous. It has come by the Spirit. In that Spirit comes the edification of the church, that building up and that knitting together. But it must be in understanding. He said, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Certainly, I don't think we have any problem anymore. If people do have a problem with this, it's speaking in an unknown tongue. Some think it's some kind of gibberish, some kind of emotional high, and it just, you know, got some kind of gibberish. But I don't think that ever was a meaning here. You understand, on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in many tongues. And the emphasis to me, it doesn't seem to be as much on the speaking in tongues as it was upon the hearing in their own tongue. Never was any gibberish to it. But if we all spoke in some other language, how are we going to know what is being taught? Yeah. Yeah. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Must all speak the same thing, or same language, and of the same spirit, so that if one body, you see, he started off, he said, follow after charity. In this 14th chapter, that's the very heading of it. So are you charitable? Yeah, in the preaching of the gospel is love. That's the whole basis of the whole thing. Love, unity in love. And in the preaching of the gospel, if we don't all have the same spirit, then we're unlearned. But do you understand this also? It's talking about speaking in a tongue. Do you know unto the world it is an unknown tongue? It's far. They don't understand it. But it was all by design. Another thing, go back to Pentecost. Those that the 3,000 that are saved were those that were called, Paul said, or Peter said. But to the others, it was an unknown tongue. He said, I thank my God, Paul said, I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice, be ye children. Might say, speak softly in malice. Don't rise up in anger. But be charitable. I said that's the way he started, wasn't it? In charity. But in understanding. Don't be children. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Adults. Grown up. Having understanding. Having knowledge. Having the Spirit. He said, in the law, it is written with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will, they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. And that sign is a condemnation unto those that hear not. Isn't that strange? They seek after a sign, and yet there it is, right before. Amen. The preaching of the gospel is a sign of the Spirit of God with His people. And that's what Paul is talking about here in church, talking about those that come in that are unlearned. But if they come in and they understand the preaching of the gospel and they see a part of it, to those that are unlearned, it becomes their condemnation and the justification of God Almighty, actually, if you can say He's justified that way. Because He did send the gospel. Did they not hear? Yeah, they heard. But what did it do? It called some. And it brought others unto condemnation. He said, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not. It doesn't do them any good. Not in the sense that they might find salvation in it. Why? Because they're angry with God. And they're not going to listen to it. And they're not going to have it. What they're going to do is say, it just cannot say that. Or it cannot mean that. It must mean something else. Because it doesn't agree with our thinking. But prophesying serveth not them that believe not, but for them which believe. Oh, it's a building up of them and a tearing down of the others. The tearing down of the stronghold. He said, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But everything must be done decently and in order, you understand, that they might see God in you. He said, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. And he is judged of all. Now they'd say, well, you ought not judge anybody. But the preaching of the gospel, here's what's doing the judging. Yeah, we're to judge in the preaching of the gospel. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. It'll show who he is. I've said before, see, I was a guy that invited a black man to come to church, and some of them were worried about it. My goodness, don't invite a black man. Well, my Bible said it ain't no difference. You preach to all of them. That's what some of the problem was right here. They were some of them, it was above the others, and they all, you know, they all had some speech in an unknown tongue. Yeah. Let me show you what I know. But listen, when the gospel is preached, and it has a distinct sound, you don't have to worry about that fella coming to your church and keep on coming unless he be changed from black unto spiritual. He ain't going to stay. If he's not one of you, he's not going to stay. He may linger around a while, until the gospel goes getting a hold of him And he say, I'm not going to put up with this. I love you, brother, but I'm not going to put up with it. And he's going to get out. So you don't have to worry about inviting folks to church because they don't, you know, they may not fit in. The gospel's going to judge him and it's going to bring it out. It's going to show who he is. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, now this is the one that's called. He will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. If he be called, that's what he'll do. He'll join in. Have the same conversation. He said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. This is the whole purpose of church coming together. Unto edification. Go with me back over to the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Hadn't been long ago Paul covered this one. But it has to do with this. This is where Paul went back and quoted this scripture. When he was preaching to this church or writing this letter to this church. In verse 9, in 28th chapter book of Isaiah, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You see, that's what he just said, be men. Be men. Not only that, but with understanding. He said, for precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. But it will have a distinct sound. He said to whom he said, this is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing. Yet they would not hear that. Now, he's talking here about national Israel. They wouldn't hear. But some did. All by design. They say God moves. I don't know who come up with that idea. God moves in mysterious ways. Of course, they mean most time they mean something else when they say that, but it is mysterious, isn't it? No man can understand it. Just can't do it. But the preaching of the gospel is line upon line. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. But to some, it's unto salvation. In some, it's under condemnation because it's foreign. It's of another language. He said, to whom he said, this is rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is a refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept. Now he's talking about those that wouldn't hear. It still was there. It still had the same sound. He said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, he said, hear the word of the Lord. This is admonition actually unto everybody. But who's going to hear? He said, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. He said, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Because they didn't hear. They're still saying, we're going to have our own way. We're not going to hear that. To this very day, it's the same thing. That's the reason we're so few here this morning. You see, we going to go down to where we going to enjoy ourselves. Somewhere. And we going to get out from you because you so narrow-minded. But in verse 16, he said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hidden places. It's going to call out a people, and they're going to be built up on this foundation. They're going to be edified, one stone on another, until the whole house is built up complete. It won't be missing not one shingle, or one stone, or one timber. It's going to all be brought together by the preaching of the gospel. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. But it's all going to come and fit together unto one building.
Most of us, for many, many years, we labored under the false assumption that the whole purpose of the church was to get everybody saved. That's the reason even today they have these crusades to save Houston. Going to save Houston, going to save San Francisco, going to save New York City, going to save, you know, Los Angeles, going to save the world. And they really believe that they're capable of doing that. I don't know why. they believe that, but they do. I wrote was having a series, I guess, of communications with one, well, actually, it's a sovereign, supposed to be a sovereign grace preacher, some years back, and I wrote him in there, one of the letters, I said, the purpose of the church is not to evangelize. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. And that evangelization will come along with the glorification. But you can't get the cart before the horse. And he really took me to task over that. But I still believe I'm right. David said, if God would cleanse his heart, then he would teach sinners the error of their way. And that's the purpose of the church, and that's what edification really is. It's the purification, the sanctification of God's people. It's not to make people feel good, as Dr. Ed Young says. I forget exactly how he says that now. He says, but something like, you just feel good. We make you feel good. Well, that's not the purpose of the church. Now, you will feel good. At least your spirit will be joyful. You'll have joy in the Holy Ghost. There will be joy unspeakable, in fact, in full glory. But it may be when you're in the midst of heaviness, Peter says. But if the church, and I guess I should rephrase that, as the church, because the church will be edified, won't it? There's no question about it. But as the church is edified, the world will see, and those that are appointed unto salvation will come, they will come. Inevitably, they will come, because God hath appointed them unto salvation. God hadn't appointed them unto salvation. They may see something, but it will not appear unto them to be the beauty of the Lord. Edification, that is really what it's all about. And in the church.